back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Michael Allen. Michael is the President, CEO, and Director of Northern Empire Resources. He is a professional geologist with more than 20 years of experience in the mining industry. He has extensive experience in project evaluation and recently reviewed in excess of over 400 gold projects worldwide. Now, this effort has led Mike to identify and negotiate the purchase of the Sterling Gold Project, which I was privileged to visit last week. Mike has a strong technical background, having explored for gold in Nevada, the Canadian Arctic, British Columbia, Ontario, and he has worked in both open pit and underground mines, as well as managing the construction of new mines and exploration crews. So he has sort of from soup to nuts the experience in the mining industry. For the last several years, Mike has spent his time in Nevada, where he was part of a team that advanced a gold project through permitting and a positive pre-feasibility study. Mike holds a bachelor's degree in geology from the University of Alberta, but more important than anything, and as far as I'm concerned, is that he has been a part of a team that has been very successful in making investors a lot of money over the years. Well, that's why I'm really especially happy to welcome Michael today. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
No problem. Thank you for taking the time this morning, Reggie, this afternoon.
Really good. I think your time is every bit as valuable as mine when I saw the operation out there in Nevada. And I must say, just before we get started here, that I was very impressed with your team. You know, not the people we hear from, not the people that are listed on your board of directors and all that necessarily, but the people that are there, boots on the ground, the people, highly efficient technical people. Geologist that we met there on that trip. So I just wanted to let people know that I was quite impressed with the depth of your staff as well. Should mention that your stock trades in Toronto under the symbol NM, PSPGF for those that want to buy it in the United States, as I have. 64.7 million shares, trading about a dollar in U.S. money earlier today anyway. When I looked at it, 65 million market cap in U.S. money. The shares are tightly held. Core Mining owns 11.6% of the company, 32.6% owned by institutions, and management has a fair chunk as well at almost 8%. There's only a float of about 44%, so the stock is fairly tight, and I must say that when I went to buy some recently, it wasn't the easiest stock to buy without having to pay a penny or more than I wanted to. So with that background, Michael, one of the things that attracted me to Northern Empire was a successful track record of the management team that you had. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about past successes that you and your team have had?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the board of directors, I was lucky enough to join a fairly established group. You look at the team there, there's the guys that founded and sold Camanac, that's John Robbins and Jim Peterson. And then there's also guys like Doug Hurst and Ray Throckelt, who are part of the Newmarket team, which sold last year to Kirkland Lake Gold for $1 billion. Also, Doug Hurst was a founder of International Royalties, so he's well familiar with the royalty space, and that was sold to Franco Nevada a few years ago. Yeah. And then also rounding out the board is actually the team that founded and made the Underworld discovery, white gold up in the Yukon. And it's sort of a bit of serendipity because the white gold transaction is actually what paid for my wedding way back in the day.
Cool. Well, that's nice. I mean, I think it's just so important for people to know. It's, you know, they say the best place to find a mine is next to an existing mine. I think the best management teams to pick are management teams that have been successful in the past. The track record is there, and it's a very difficult business, of course, mining. The amount of science that goes into building a mine is unknown by almost everybody, except those of us who look at the industry closely. You had a lot of experience in looking at projects around the world, as we just noted, some 400 different projects that you looked at in the last few years. Can you tell us what are some of the major political, I guess you're really looking at political risk is one of the things that you look at. Your Sterling mine is in Nevada. How does that compare, let's say, politically and in terms of regulatory approvals and so forth with many of the other places around the world?
Well, everybody knows that Nevada is a mining jurisdiction. I think that the stats are if Nevada was a country, it would be a top 10 producer of gold on a global basis. Mm-hmm. And you look at the places that you can permit a mine and you can build a mine and have experience with mining. You know, it was one of the criteria that I wanted to take with the company is essentially, you know, you want to pick a spot to invest is maybe a place that you would bring your children or your grandchildren. I mean, I've talked to people that have worked in, you know, deepest, darkest Africa, and they have, you know, wonderful stories, but you always look at it and go, well, maybe I'll just, you know, go to Nevada and drive up to a site in a pickup truck and be, you know, have security of title, not have to worry about anything like that. And there really is a process for getting mines done. I mean, a big mine in Nevada takes about 3 years to permit, which anywhere else in the world is probably about 10 or more. And then you never have to worry about somebody, you know, deciding that once you get the operation up and running, nationalizing it. I mean, it's just not ever going to happen. You know, this is sort of backed up by the Fraser Institute, who has probably over the last 10 years has consistently ranked Nevada in the top five jurisdictions on a global basis for a miner to operate in. So, yeah, I'm very comfortable with our asset, and the location is a key part of it.
Well, as we just noted, you scoured the earth for these projects. In addition to political and regulatory status in Nevada, what was there about the Sterling Mine asset that caused you to pick it up to really go after that one?
Well, I mean, the saying is that great conquers all, and Sterling is probably in the western U.S. the highest grade open pit heap leach asset that is out there. And it's, as far as I know, it's the highest grade out there. There is the permitted Sterling mine, which averages about 3.6 grams per ton gold, which is about 0.1 ounce per ton gold for Americans. And then the property itself is about 2.2 grams per ton gold, about 0.08 ounces. And so that's another key thing is the grade. You also want to look for me. I like to take a lot of the risk of geological complexity out of it. I do look for an open pit asset that makes life generally a bit easier. Also heap leach for a capital intensity to keep that low. And those are sort of the key things, the location, the grade, and then the capital intensity. Those are the key things that I key in on a mining project.
What can you give our listeners a little bit of background on the Sterling Mine? It was a producing mine in the past. Talk to us a little bit about what was there when you picked up this asset, what you've accomplished since you have picked it up, and then perhaps talk a little bit about what your plans are for 2018.
Sure. In the Sterling asset consists of two parts. Which is the Sterling Mine, that was operated by Imperial Metals, and that was essentially the flagship of what we acquired there. Also part of the Sterling asset is what we're referring to as the Crown Project, and this is also a past-producing mine. It was operated by Glamis and Rayrock back in the late 90s. It was an open-pit operation as well. Since we've picked it up, we've completed a 43-101 technical report on the project. We've done which gave us a resource of about 709,000 ounces inferred at 2.2 grams per ton spread out through four deposits. Through then, what we've done since then is we've done about 5,200 meters of drilling in 2017 and another 3,000 meters so far in 2018. What we're largely focusing on in 2017 was to de-risk the project and take ownership. Part of what we wanted to do as a company is really take that scenario of going to zero and having the company completely blowing up off the table. So we de-risked the Sterling Mine, and then we started to take ownership of the deposits in the north, which has given us fantastic results, and we look forward to doing more drilling there in the new year. 2017 results out of the Crown deposits, 47 meters of 1.47 out of Daisy, and 82 meters of 1.25 out of the Secret Pass deposit. And we're getting geared up with another drill campaign right now. We've got two rigs on site, and we're going right now.
All right. So when do might investors start seeing some of these assays from the current drill program and throughout the year?
Well, we'll probably have some results of a few more of our 07 or our 17 drilling from the Sterling coming out in the next week or two, and then we're optimistic that we're going to start to see results from the 2018 program start to flow out sort of towards the end of February, early March, around the time of PDAC, and we'll really start to put the drill bit into the ground. After that, I would expect every 4 to 6 weeks from now until September, we're going to be putting out results.
Okay. One of the aspects that I think needs to be mentioned is that your Sterling mine is permitted now. I didn't hear you say that, but your Sterling mine is permitted. You could actually turn the switch on and start producing gold from Sterling right now. Isn't that right?
That is the case. What we acquired from Imperial was a fully permitted open pit heap leach operation and quite high grade. So we knew about it, and we verified this as part of our due diligence that, yeah, all that we would really need to do to turn on the Sterling mine would be to establish, upsize the bond for the new disturbance with the BLM, and then it's essentially call the mining contractors and the heap leach contractors and get going, start mining, and go from there. And this is Nevada. This is a place where you can literally look in the yellow pages for a mining contractor and a heap leach contractor and get them down, you know, on 2 weeks' notice and get going.
Mm-hmm. I think this is important because, as you discussed when I was out there with your management team, if let's say that the gold market turns south, I mean, I don't think it will. I'm very bullish on gold, but let's say it does, and it's difficult to raise capital for exploration efficiently, to raise capital, you would have the ability then to turn this mine on, produce cash flow, because I think your costs are expected to be fairly low. You could actually stay alive and produce some cash flow, probably positive cash flow, in a bad market, right?
That's the thought, and that's the de-risking of the company by having that permitted mine there.
Right. I think it's really interesting. Now, with just a minute or so left, you are operating in an area known as the Walker Lane Trend along the California-Nevada border, pretty much extends all the way from Reno down to Las Vegas in that area. And I've never heard it said before until recently, but they're looking for, I mean, the idea of the yourself and other geologists, I believe, is the potential for Carlin-style mineralization. With just about a minute or so left, could you explain to our listeners why that might be important?
Well, the Carlin deposits are the big ones in Nevada. They're the 5-10 million ounce deposits, and they're generally, you know, where the seniors are making their money up by the town of Carlin in Nevada. What it is when you look at there's a certain geology that you look for. You look for, and forgive me, I'm a geologist, dirty carbonates. These mm-hmm. carbonates are reactive, and they soak up gold mineralization. The Sterling property, when we got it, there is a large volume of rock there called that would potentially host these Carlin deposits, and they've got all the signatures. Also, on our land package, which is now at 125 square kilometers, there were several areas of this Carlin-type rock potential mm-hmm. that was available for staking. So what we acquired back in early May of last year was a 55 square kilometer package, but we've since gone out and through staking, taking it up to 125 square kilometers. So it's starting to get that district scale potential that seniors like to see when they're looking at acquisitions in Nevada.
All right. Well, it certainly is an exciting story. So investors should be, I guess, keeping their eyes peeled for assays and any news that comes out from your company. And it's they can go to northernemp.com to keep up with all that's going on, right?
That's correct. That's the website, and we're quite active. We're going to be at the various shows that we'll be at PDAC and the various shows that are around this spring.
Yeah, in fact, I think you're going to be at the Metals Investor Forum that I'll be at right before the PDAC as well. So, looking forward to seeing you, Michael, and thank you so much for coming on the show today. It really is an exciting story. We want our listeners to make money, and I think this is one place they might consider putting in a few dollars. So, at least that's what I believe. I have. Thank you very much, Michael, and look to keep up to date with you as things progress.
All right. Thank you very much, Jay. Have a good afternoon.